part-time worker for Horsham Churches Together, been enrolled for 4 years. And probably for the last 2.5, 3 years, we've been quite heavily involved with all things eco. Now, why is that? And that's because the role that I'm doing at the moment is divided into three areas, witnessing together as churches, working together as churches, and influencing together as churches. So very much the eco theme falls into the influencing together as churches. So Horsham Churches Together is endeavouring to act as the focal point for liaison with others and helping HCT to be an influence for good in the community. So we just recently heard a presentation from Paula. Hi, Paula, from Horsham Matters. And so that kind of chimes with what Horsham Matters are trying to do. And in the same way, Horsham Churches Together is there as an influence for good in the community. The reason we were set up originally was because Horsham District Council only wanted to speak to one person rather than 32 churches, which still stands true today. So a lot of what I do is liaising with the council in and out. But I also liaise and have been liaising with, we are members of Southeast Climate Alliance. We've been supporting Curry, the Repair Cafe. We've been promoting all things eco over the last few years. In fact, just in the last few weeks, we took part in the Southeast Climate Alliance submission to the West Sussex County Council Climate Change Strategy. So there's a lot of teaching going on in churches to say how important environmental matters are. I just need to give a plug for the churches, because the teaching going on in the churches, in case some of you haven't noticed, they've pretty much been closed. The door has been locked since the beginning of lockdown. And it's only just, or some churches are just opening for private prayer, or some, a few, for services at the moment. But Christians are still out there. And in fact, majority of churches have been live streaming, going on Instagram, YouTubing, you name it. If you Google what the Horsham Churches Together churches are doing, anybody can just look at service information, all sorts of other stuff that they've been doing over the period of time. So very much the church buildings may have been closed, but the Christians are still out there, out and about. And everybody is welcome, as I said recently in the House of Lords, everyone is welcome. I just want to add the point about innovating, actually. So in as much as the churches have been innovating in this period of time during lockdown, I would say that all things environmental is relevant in terms of innovating. So there's some exciting developments going on with eco churches, particularly linked with Arusha. And I shouldn't just say that this is all new, because we've got some people in the room, Gaynor, for example, with Brighton Road Baptist Church. You've been on this journey for a very long time, actually. So we're all learning. We're all learning from each other, basically, and sharing good practice. David, I see that your church is just starting on the Bronze Eco Church journey as well, which is fantastic. And yes, Karen, going to do a presentation in a minute, has got silver and is moving on to gold. And there are other churches involved as well. So welcome if you've got a link with an eco church. Let me introduce Karen Park to you. Karen Park is at St Mark's Church, which is a modern, very well insulated, very green church up in North Horsham. And Karen's leading on Horsham Eco Churches and has been doing so for a while. And thank you for that, Karen, very much. And over to Karen for the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello everyone, I'm Karen Park. I'm from St Mark's Church in Holbrook and Horsham Eco Churches. I'm just going to put my screen share on so you can see the slides. So, as Rosemary mentioned, can you hear me all right, first of all? Yep, that's good. Right, Eco Churches comes under Arusha UK, which is a Christian charity which works to protect and restore the natural world and mobilise Christians and churches to care for the environment. And Arusha UK has an award scheme for churches in England and Wales. There's a similar scheme in Scotland. There's a free online survey and supporting resources which gives lots of support and advice about how to become an eco church. And there are also schemes for regional groupings like Eco Diocese, Eco Circuit, Eco District, and Eco Synod. Let's go to the next slide. Churches use the free, unique online eco-survey to record what they're already doing to care for God's earth and reflect on further steps in these five key areas of church life: their worship and teaching, management of church buildings, management of church land, community and global engagement, and personal lifestyle. Eco Church has many supporters, including all these organisations. You may see some there that you recognise, and others you may not have come across. It's worth having a look up some of them. They're very interesting. Green Christian is there, the Methodist Church, Church of England, Baptists Together, Operation Noah, Climate Stewards, and things like Christian Aid and Tear Fund, which you may not realise that eco matters are very important to charities such as them. Churches register online to save their eco survey responses, and they can go back at any point when they get more information or to update things and when they undertake new actions and initiatives. For example, something like switching to a green energy supplier, which Carrie Court and Sussex Green Living can tell you all about, or using fair trade tea and coffee. There are coloured lines on a screen beside the questions, change colour as the points accumulate so that you can instantly see what level of award the church has achieved in each category. And to qualify for a bronze, silver or gold award, churches must attain the required standard in each of the areas covered by the eco survey that apply to them. Some churches, for example, do not have buildings or land, so those sections don't apply to them, or may apply partly. For example, a church may have a car park and a tiny strip of land, but they wouldn't be expected to achieve as much in land as a church that has vast lawns and borders, etc. Applying for the award is all done online within the survey app. But for a gold award, an eco church advisor visits your church to see and hear all you've been doing to care for God's earth. Online, the eco church website has lots of resources covering all sorts of different areas. There are lots of web links on there and information and ideas. Many of the resources are currently being updated at the moment, which is great. Award-winning churches receive a certificate to mark their achievement, and they can purchase, if they wish, a pew which has been made from recycled church pews, which is made up in Edinburgh, a community project. This is us at St Mark's Church when we'd been presented with our silver eco church. Maybe we were already eligible for bronze, and then we put some more measures into place and managed to achieve the silver award, and now we're at St Mark's in Holbrook, we're going for gold. Horsham Eco Churches was set up a few months back to encourage and inspire other churches on their eco church journey to share their ideas and find out more. Brighton Road Baptist Church gained their silver eco church award some time ago, which is tremendous achievement, and then we followed on from them, and we're together now, we're going for gold. Seven other Horsham churches have already registered to participate in the eco church scheme: Holy Trinity in Russians Road in Horsham, Holy Trinity at Lower Beeding, St Andrew's Methodist Church at Roffey, St Margaret's Church at Warnham, St Mary's in Horsham, and St Nicholas at Itchingfield, and Trafalgar Road Baptist Church. And several of those churches are represented by people on this Zoom call. It's lovely to see you all. Brighton Road Baptist, as I said, has achieved a Silver Eco Church Award. They've got solar roof panels now, which will save an estimated £1,530 each year on their energy bills. And they expect to reduce the annual carbon emissions of Brighton Road Baptist Church building by 9.7 tonnes. The annual carbon footprint campaign at the church encourages people to assess their progress, and environmental campaigns by organisations such as Christian Aid and Tear Fund are supported. We were delighted in January 2020 to be able to meet at Brighton Road Baptist Church as they hosted the South East Climate Alliance first anniversary networking event. And there's a picture of many of us there. That was a great day. St Mark's Church Holbrook after we'd achieved our Silver Eco Church Award, we straight away set out going for gold. First thing we did was to set up 3 hedgehog hotels and some bird nest boxes in the gardens. This bird nest box has had baby blue tits in there this year. We've also had some robins nesting, wood pigeons and sparrows, but they built their own nest. They decided they didn't want to use the nesting boxes, so that was cool. St Mark's Church, we're reviewing our carbon footprints, both of the church itself and the buildings and the congregation, engaging with local sustainability groups and churches, discussing recycling, food waste, clean energy and sustainable living. We've produced a Together We Can leaflet, which is full of local information, and churches and community groups, scout groups, etc. are very welcome to have this leaflet and edit it to add their own information. We're working together with community groups, churches, schools, businesses, councils and individuals, and we can make a difference to improve recycling, reduce residual waste and promote refuse, reuse, repair, refill, regift and composting of food and garden waste. St Andrew's Church at Roffey have registered for the scheme, and they have a beautiful community garden behind the church with fruit trees, vegetables and flowers, a quiet space. Vegetables are available to the food bank and for sale at their coffee mornings on a Wednesday. Holy Trinity Church in Rushams Road have also registered for the scheme, and they're part of the Trafalgar Greenway and Holy Trinity Recycling Scheme. Their collection points were closed for COVID-19, but they're open again now, although the ones at the schools are still closed. So that's in Holy Trinity Church Hall at Rushams Road. You can see there by the front door of the church, they've got 2 bins, and there's a note on the top saying what you can put in there. And they've got a very good Facebook page which explains what can go in the bins for the TerraCycle schemes. And I've listed there some of the stuff that they take. Fair trade is an important part of the Eco Church scheme. Fair trade supports farmers and workers as they work to improve their lives and the communities. And there are now 6,000 fair trade products. You can look out for the fair trade mark on bananas, chocolate, coffee, cotton, flowers, gold, clothes, cold drinks, juice, herbs, spices, sweets, snacks, rice, grain, cereals, sugar, spreads, oil, tea, wine, beauty, and other products. And churches can apply and recommit online every 2 years to become a fair trade place of worship. It's a free scheme, it's very easy to do, and there are lots of resources there to help your church and your congregation become more involved with fair trade. Becoming an ethical consumer is another important part of Eco Church, learning how to use your spending power better to help change the world. Ethical Consumer, for example, provides tools and resources that you can use to make your daily choices simple, informed and effective. And they do research and consultancy for campaign groups and organisations, including Christian Aid, Friends of the Earth and Oxfam. Some of the information is free on their website, but the full set of tools is available for a small annual subscription, which helps fund their work. Reducing waste, another important part of Eco Church, moving from a linear economy to a circular economy to reduce waste. I borrowed this diagram from someone on Facebook. I thought it was quite helpful for explaining about a circular economy where materials are neither burned nor buried. Products are designed to be reused, recycled and repaired, and valuable materials and nutrients are retained. If you want to receive Horsham Eco Church's news, we'll help you to keep up to date with the local schemes to reduce waste and care for God's earth. And together, we can do all these things. We'll begin with our, which is amazing. Just pick a few of them. Rotate, remember, refuse, reinvent, reflect, rot, remediate, replenish, return, relate and restore. Climate change can seem overwhelming, but there are simple things you can do to help the planet and reduce your bills. And final slide here, cooperation. There's a critical window of opportunity to build back better from the COVID-19 pandemic. Cooperation is one of the 5 core commitments at AROSHA UK to help inform and support action by Christians in the UK. including Climate Sunday, the Climate Coalition, Hope for the Future, Wildlife and Countryside Link, and the 360 Carbon Calculator. The web link there takes you to an article from AROSHA UK explaining the details about all of those things. You can follow Horsham Eco Churches on Facebook, and I post on there links to things like the link that's just above, interesting articles and sharing Sussex Green Living and other local news, as well as things to do with the churches. At the moment, we're using my email for people to sign up for the Eco Churches news. There's things that the community can do to support churches on their Eco Church journey, which is something we could talk about in the chat. And do encourage churches to complete the eco survey and gauge where they currently are. And they may find, like we did at St Mark's, that they already qualify for an eco church award. And if they don't, there's a lot of resources there just to help step by step. The next thing we're doing at St Mark's is putting up some more water butts so that we can use less mains water and continue to look after the fruit and vegetables that's being planted in the church garden, because we're creating a community garden. Rosemary's going to see if any of the other eco church people have got anything they would like to add to that, and then we'd love to answer your questions.
Yes, Karen, just before you stop off, I was just thinking about the all the questionnaire questions, and then when you go for gold, there's a whole area around sort of social justice questions and so on, isn't there, that you can tackle? Are there a couple of words, without putting it on the spot, are there a couple of words that you could say about that to explain that it's sort of a bit broader as well when you go for gold?
Well, the social justice things can apply at any level. Mm-hmm. Yes, so it's getting involved with campaigns, and fair trade is a good part of social justice. And Gaynor may well be able to contribute to that.
Because I'm an old campaigner and always have been a campaigner, at our church we have really promoted the social justice issues. We have reapplied to be a fair trade church, since you know have to, but we have been a fair trade church for an enormous number of years, and we have been campaigning on, Tear Fund has been having various campaigns on the environmental side, and we've been following those, and Christian Aid. In fact, last year, with Sussex Greener Living and several of the churches, and Mark, and we all did a petition together, didn't we? Which we took to Christian Aid petition. We took it to HSBC, demanding that they stopped funding coal-fired power stations, which there has been some movement on now. But, you know, that was first of all, working together in the community, but also for social justice, because of what was happening to those communities where they were still using coal-fired power plants. So it is important. The social justice is a very important part of it for me. So, yes.
Absolutely. Gaynor, is there anything else you'd like to add about your particular journey from Brighton Road Baptist Church? Because seriously, we were all learning good practice from you on the journey in terms of how you got your silver, and it was very inspirational.
Right. Well, we started about 5 years ago and pursued a policy of working on the people in the church to try and change their minds and make environmental issues more important to them. So we set it out as a sort of hurrah, let's try and get to bronze, and spent quite a long time getting to bronze just to keep them enthusiastic, and then had a church vote on whether or not we went to silver. And it has been an awful lot of just plugging on and on and on at people how important this is, what they can do, you know, and just never letting up, you know, that it sort of continues and continues. And, you know, we were very pleased to get the solar panels. That was very exciting. And the next thing we want to work on is ethical investment. You know, where do they put their money? And can they move it to ethical investments. It's not something that probably many people have thought about, but it is certainly part of the eco standards. You know, investing your money, your savings ethically. So that's, we were going to do that, but of course COVID-19 has sort of, it's put things on hold for the moment. So yes, that's where we were going next.
Thank you, Gaynor. And then probably just to add that if it feels like, well, this is just for the people in the churches, if you like, but then actually it's for churches and communities. So it just occurs to me that as people, they're perhaps walking past a church, then when we came to Carrie's fair in the Carfax, somebody was talking to me about having a herb garden in the church and just to allow the community to come and pick herbs and to share and to have the beauty of nature for everybody in the community to benefit from. So it might feel like, well, it's just a little building in this area, but actually it's got masses of ripples and repercussions, actually. And for every one individual, we can all make a massive difference in our own lives, but also impact on in other areas as well. But so it's really exciting. Yes. Yeah, it's really exciting. So many churches are wanting to get involved, actually.
Can I say something there? Our church building is open all day, every day.
Yeah.
There's play groups there. There's all sorts of things that bring young people and old people into the church. And we have a constantly changing eco church notice board, which people see and leaflets around. So it does, you know, there are a lot of people, I have heard people say, oh, yeah, I saw that when I brought my child to play group and things like that. So there's a, and I think most churches are the same. The buildings are open and there are all sorts of things going on. So there's all sorts of things of people coming into the church and seeing the information you've got on EcoChurch.
Gary's wanting to get in with a question, so.
Yeah, if I may, and it may relate to everything that you've discussed. Carrie, I know, Carrie, I've emailed about this concept that I've literally just sort of been working on. One of the things I've been looking at is the prospects of new beginnings in September for schools, part of Woods for Learning. And I've been doing some research into willow planting, and I've found a local supplier called Rusper Farm. I can send the details to it. But in terms of that collaboration, would the churches be interested in maybe doing a group kind of bid in order to look at possibly getting every child in every school one willow that they can plant within their school? Now, what that will do is it will enable every school in Horsham the opportunity of building their own willow domes. It will add to, obviously, all the environmental side of things. It will be a nice play on new beginnings in September as we try and sort of get schools back on the front foot in terms of COVID, etc. And whether that's something that you might be interested in perhaps collaborating on.
Yes. Gary, are you working with Horsham East and West, the two?
Literally, I literally only came up with the concept last week. So I briefly mentioned it to Carrie. I've kind of been looking to do it as part of the work. I'm currently in a couple of schools, doing Forest School and that, Ubrish Academy, Leechpool as the governor. And I broached the subject with them from that perspective. And then I thought, actually, it might be a bigger picture that we can work on.
Yes. Yeah. Because we're working with the primary schools in terms of mental health in schools. So there's already a sort of precedent for a connection between Horsham churches together and the schools in a different area. So we should probably take that offline and see what can be done about it. Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Noting Mark, you're asking the question to perhaps one of the either St Mark's or to Brighton Road Baptist Church. What was the most challenging and difficult thing that you found that you had to change and influence? Perhaps as you were going for silvers, I don't know whether Karen, whether you want to take that first. When you were going for the silver, what was the most difficult thing, a different aspect of the award?
might seem strange, just from a congregation point of view, it's getting people to understand what you can recycle. And that just because a paper towel is made of paper doesn't mean you can put it in the recycling bin, and you certainly can't expect our council to pick it up, and trying to get them to realise that you could end up with a whole lorry load literally being rejected and incinerated just because people have been putting the wrong things in the bin. But they are getting very good now. Yes, I know we've been shut for a few weeks, but there was a definite improvement. Yes, but it's hard. Yes. I got some stickers from the council in the end and put on the top that showed what you could put in there. That did help a bit. What about you, Gaynor?
I think actually the going for bronze was probably the most challenging, because it was all a new concept in the church, and you know, there was a lot of people that couldn't see why it was relevant, and it was sort of things like getting the church to put its money where its mouth is and change to green energy, you know, trying to find, because a lot of the energy companies won't deal with organizations, and finding one that and this is now 5 years ago, finding one that actually as a would deal with a company and give them a rate that would be sort of comparable with what they'd already got, that was quite challenging, but we did it. And when our gas contract runs out, we'll hopefully change the gas contract. So that was quite challenging.
Really good. I don't know, David, I know you're new to us and new to the scheme. I don't know whether there's anything you can contribute about being in the very early stages.
Yes, sure. I mean, we are doing quite well in some of the areas. For instance, we're doing well in worship, teaching. We're well in the bronze with our land and the buildings as well. I think where we struggled with is lifestyle, you know, trying to persuade people to change the way that they live, really. And it's quite difficult. We were building up a bit of momentum, and then of course COVID-19 came in, because during Lent we had a service where we put a little tree up and we asked people to fill in little green leaves saying something that they would do for the environment during Lent, you know, and that went really well. And we thought, great, you know, we can start to build on that. And then, of course, we haven't really met since, you know. So I think the lifestyle one has probably been, feels like the most problematical. I think in terms of community engagement, quite a few individuals are engaged with local things going on. For instance, there's a very good Stenning greening group. And another issue, I suppose, is money, because, you know, it's perhaps not the best way to put it, but there are some easy wins, you know, just by donating to environmental charities, you know. But we are very short of money. We're not paying our way, I'm afraid, as a church. So that's been a bit of an issue. And I think with fair trade, we've had two coffee mornings, Sunday coffee mornings, where we've concentrated on fair trade products. And I'd like to become a fair trade church, you know. And I think we can probably get away with that now. Because I think one of the issues is getting people to be consistent, you know, because what you find is somebody will, like the person buying the stuff for our church hall, you know, for our Sunday coffee, they'll buy coffee from Tradecraft and biscuits, etc. And then somebody will come in and bought something completely different from the co-op, you know. So it's quite difficult getting people to really buy into it and understand, yeah, you know, that if we're going to be a fair trade church, we've got to be a fair trade church, you know, and not just go with a cheap packet of biscuits from the co-op, really. Ecova products we're pretty good at, but again, you know, somebody will then buy fairy liquid, you know. It's kind of a bit of it's a bit frustrating, but it's good as well, you know. And I think there is quite an awareness growing. Our vicar, Reverend Emma, is very supportive, in fact, and she actually brought the idea of Eco Church in when she came in a couple of years ago. So we are getting there. And I think if it hadn't been for COVID-19, I think we would probably have gone a bit further than we have, certainly in terms of lifestyle and community engagement. What I would say, one of the things we have been very pleased about is we own a fair bit of land around the church. And earlier this year, we put a bench up on a kind of a ridge which overlooks the Ada and has a lovely view across the river valley to Chanctonbury Hill, you know. And that's been fantastic because that's been so well used. People just love sitting there. So that's been quite a good, you know, encouraging the public to use church land. And actually, people are quite surprised when we say, well, actually, the church put the bench there, you know. So it's actually a way of engaging people there as well.